The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Steve Noble of The Steve Noble Show, wearer of hush puppies and eater of humble pie. That's what's going on here. I'm with my friend and my dear sister in Christ, Ann Graham Lotz, today, live from her office, which is beautiful and comforting and warm. And it's just so great to see you, Ann. How are you?
I'm so glad to see you, Steve. We've tried, I think you just mentioned, we've tried
three different times
to have this, and each time it ran into a roadblock.
Yep.
So glad to be here.
We just trust the Lord had this day planned for us. Yeah. And so it's great to be here. It's great to be back. And we've flipped back and forth a few times. You probably don't remember this. The very first time I did Facebook Live in my studio, which was out at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, the first time we ever did that was with you.
Oh, my goodness.
And we had so many people tune in. I was thinking, unfortunately, I was like, wow, look at this. This is awesome. We're off to a great start. And then the next day, it wasn't so good. I'm like, well, it's good to have Ann Graham Lotz in your corner. But we did that there. We did once here. Of course, we've done radio together in the studio, and it's great to be back here. In an interesting season, personally, ministry-wise, in the country, around the world. So we're going to kind of talk about all these different things that the Lord has done in your life and is doing in a lot of other people's lives. I mentioned this when I first got here. Listen, I think encouragement is a currency we don't trade in much anyway. But given what's gone on for the last, year now with COVID, and I shared a little story with you before we got on the air about that young girl who took her life. She was only 12. Yeah. And that's just one story. I think there's a lot of devastation. People are getting their COVID relief checks in the mail, but that's just money. Yeah, that's not going to change things. Right. And so I definitely want to make sure, and I know you will, because this is just how God built you to let's encourage people today. Because I think there's a whole lot of people that are in a whole lot of pain. And like you've said, a lot of things online for your ministry have just exploded as a result of, I don't know, the darkness, and God's just moving.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's, I thank the Lord for the privilege of being alive at this particular time in human history, because it is a dark time. But, it's Isaiah says that darkness has covered the land and the great darkness has covered the people, but his glory has arisen. And so those of us who want to share the light and share the gospel and tell people about Jesus, the contrast gets greater between what we're saying and the world around us. So it actually can draw attention, more attention to the gospel and what we're trying to give out. So it's a very challenging time to be alive. But I think if your aim is to be comfortable and go back to normal and, all that, then you're going to be very frustrated. But if your aim is to use this opportunity to share the gospel and to share hope for the future, and we can have peace in our hearts and we can have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, I mean, it's a wonderful time to share the truth, but we have to live it. So it's got to be something that we've experienced.
That's
it's not just talking about it, but that you've actually experienced it. We talked about that too.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And, as Danny, who's with the Lord, your husband, used to always say, let your light so shine before men.
That's right.
And the darker it gets, quite frankly, the easier it is to have your light shine.
That's
but you actually have to follow through.
Yes.
And I think it's oftentimes I think we avoid marketing type language as Christians, but I think we should all be very opportunistic. Mm-hmm. Right now, with respect to the darkness and the difficulty that we're experiencing, not only in this country, but around the world. But as gospel ambassadors, we should be like leaning into it, falling back, not afraid, but leaning into it.
Yes, and asking God to give us those opportunities and then taking them, whether we know that he's given them or not. But because there are people that they want to hear the truth, I believe, and there's so much political correctness and so much cancel culture and all that it's intimidated us. But I've just decided, You know, I'm not going to be intimidated. I'm going to lay it out there like the Lord has led me. And if they cancel me, so be it. My ministry, my life is in God's hands anyway.
That's right.
And I think he's bigger and more powerful than some of these people that are making these decisions.
Yes, I think that Twitter is probably not intimidating the Lord if he's paying attention to it at all.
Yeah.
And it's important to remember that. And I think this is also a unique opportunity. This is the tension of the Christian life that... I mourn for the here and the now. Mm-hmm. I long for the there and the then. I'm stuck in between those two things right now. And, you know, whether we're talking about your dad or your mom, Billy or Ruth, or we're talking about Danny, your husband, who was a dear friend of mine, people that are there, and they're out of here, man. Mm-hmm. And we need to celebrate that. But then we're still stuck here. Mm-hmm. And like, what's the deal? But it's okay to be in that tension. And on the one hand, I'm broken. Every day I'm broken. I have to read the news. I have to deal with all this garbage all the time because I do radio 5 days a week. But then on the other hand, I'm like, man, I guess where my house is. Yeah, yeah. Guess what? It's built on the rock. It's not built on the sand. Yeah. And then you get excited.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the deal.
Yeah, and you have opportunity to speak into the culture and speak into people's lives. And that's more people listening, watching now than ever.
Yeah,
so God
ever.
Has given you incredible opportunities.
Yeah, both of us, and we praise the Lord for that. Yeah. Well, I mean, the darkness of COVID and everything else, but for you personally, what a difficult season you've been in. Because when did you get your cancer diagnosis? How far back does that go?
That was August of 2018.
And so, before we go there, how are you doing right now?
I'm doing great.
You look great.
You know, thank you.
Look at all that hair.
I'm so glad I have some. It's crazy. It's sort of wild and crazy, and it hadn't grown out evenly, and it's still curly. But anyway, so, you know, I'll work with it. But that's been 2 years ago.
Yeah.
In fact, it was 2 years ago, or 1 year ago. I guess I just finished my radiation, and because 2 years ago in September, and that was 6 months after my father went to heaven, unexpectedly. Although, you know, at 99, you know he's going to go, but not that morning and not that way. He just went for breakfast and took a breath, and he was gone. And then 6 months later, then I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so then that was such a shock. Although the Lord had prepared me for that, I went and had a mammogram, and I knew before I had the mammogram that they would find it. And I told them that, just give me an HD mammogram because I know you're going to find something.
Wow.
And so they were so good to me, this in Raleigh, the people in that imaging clinic. And just, I mean, the little girl that the technician, she prayed with me, and you know, as we went out there, and I was fine. And then the biggest challenge was how to tell my children. I waited for 3 days because we're having a big family reunion next day, and I hosted that, and then felt like the Lord just reassured me that I was to tell my children, and he gave me how to tell them in such a way that it was a blessing.
That's it's interesting to try to get ourselves, for some people, it's going to be harder to say the B word, to say this is a blessing.
Yeah, yeah.
But God is gives us an opportunity to be good stewards of our affliction, whatever that affliction is.
That's right.
And all for his glory, and all to advance the gospel, so you count it all joy when you can suffer for that. We'll be right back with Ann Graham Lotz. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Worthy is the Lamb. That's not always easy to say, is it? Depending on what's going on in your life and whether it's COVID or the loss of a job, the loss of a loved one, or perhaps a diagnosis, a cancer diagnosis. It's not always easy to say worthy is the Lamb. We can get down stuck in a pretty dark place, and a lot of people have been there for the last year. But God is there. God is available. God wants to bring you through it. And not just bring you through it. It's like, okay, the Lord's going to have me limp across the finish line. No, God has big plans for your affliction and for your struggles. We're here today in Ann Graham Lotz's office. Thank you again, Ann, for letting us come set up.
So glad to have you, Steve, anytime.
And take over. Thank you. Okay. Did somebody write that down? Anytime? Okay. You know me. Got to be careful with that. But anyway, it's great to be here with you. And you were starting to share about your journey and that the Lord had prepared you for that cancer diagnosis. Yeah. And then you said this while we were on Facebook Live. If you want to join us here in Ann's office. You can't just walk over here, but you can join us on Facebook Live or YouTube Live. So just go to the Steve Noble Show at either place. You said that you saw it as an assignment.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
That the Lord had given this to me as a platform for ministry so that I felt like because I was going through this, I would have a broader audience than if I hadn't. And I think some people who go through something like this think that somehow God's not pleased with them, they've done something wrong, that they're being punished, that God hasn't blessed them because they're now sick. And I knew those things weren't right. I knew God had given me this as an opportunity because, Steve, let me just go back. My aim in life is not to do ministry, and it's not to be healthy, wealthy, prosperous, problem-free. My aim in life is to know God. So God has put me in some hard places.
Yeah.
Because sometimes in those hardest places that you get to know him because you rely on him in a way you wouldn't if everything's going well. So he took me through, 2 years in the past 2 years and going on 3 years now, I guess, with my father and Danny, as you know, and then going through some of these health challenges.
Yeah.
But he helped me every step of the way. And one of the biggest things was after I told my family, and they were so sweet, they gathered around me and they put their hands on me and they prayed over me. And there were tears on their part, but I was fine. And I knew the way I'd shared it with them, I used one of Jonathan Cahn's devotionals in the Book of Mysteries, and we talked about the little black and white soldiers, and that you're trying to cross the valley, and they're the white soldiers are there to help you get across the valley, and the black soldiers are there to keep you from getting across the valley. And finally, when you get across and you make it, and you've arrived where you're supposed to be, you turn around and the little black soldiers take off their robes and they're white soldiers.
Wow.
So in other words, God, they're blessings in disguise,
yeah,
in other words.
That's right.
And I felt like that's what this diagnosis was. And then the next biggest thing was, where do I go for treatment and what do I do? And because I didn't have a husband or a father to give me counsel.
Yeah.
And God did. God, I was having lunch the day that I felt I was with the wrong doctor. I had scheduled a lunch 3 months before with my sister-in-law and Sylvia Hatchell, she was the women's basketball coach at University of North Carolina, and she had gone through leukemia and is fourth stage leukemia and beaten it.
Wow.
And so I hadn't told anybody outside my children, but I told them at lunch, and I asked them if they knew of a good doctor, and both of them simultaneously gave me the same name. And then Sylvia got on the phone, the head of the Leinberger Cancer Center in Chapel Hill, and next thing I know, he was setting me up with appointments, and I knew that was the place I was to be. And they took good care of me. I still go back every 3 months, but they're taking good care of me.
Amen. That's so good to hear. Yeah. And you mentioned platform, and I just want to clarify for everybody and challenge everybody with this. So they go, okay, well, Ann Graham Lotz has a platform. Steve Noble has a platform. I don't have. Yes, you do.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's got a platform.
Right.
And my platform isn't any better or worse than yours because it's a different size. It's just different. And so everybody has the opportunity to impact others. It doesn't matter. Forget the calculator. Set the calculator aside. It's about faithfulness it's about the message.
That's
it's not about the size of the platform.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. But it's getting people's attention.
Yeah.
And so that your neighbors are part of your platform, your friends, your coworkers, your classmates, and when you're going through something really hard, they watch you. Your children are your platform. They're watching you, your grandchildren watching you. And when they see you going through something difficult and see that God is real in your life, I mean, he is, but your experience of him is something that they can see. And that impacts them almost greater than anything you could say to them. So it's the way we live out our faith.
Yeah, that's right.
So I've, I look back and I thank God for the blessings. And I had, chemotherapy, 7 rounds of that were brutal. And after the 5th round, I wanted to quit. I almost did. And I felt like God spoke to me very clearly from Scripture, telling me I needed to finish out the 7 times. And then I went through, 4 weeks of daily radiation. And God took me through all of that.
Yeah.
And then it's just a process of trying to get your strength back and get your stamina and all that. But so far, I'm doing good.
Did he surprise you at some point in all of that? Was there something new about your relationship with the Lord that came out of it? Maybe an unexplored cave, some aspect where it really affected you personally in your own walk with the Lord?
I think just the depth of it and the intensity of it. And I don't think there was anything new except because, Steve, I'm a student of the Word, and I've lived it out all my life, actually. So I know that he's there for the hard times. I know he's there. As difficult as something can be, I know he's right there.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't – I didn't feel separated from him. I didn't feel abandoned by him. There are times I didn't feel – his presence, but I knew his presence was with me and that he would see me through. And if he didn't, you know, you reference the fact that we're sort of stuck after Danny and Daddy and
We're kind of caught between this world and the world to come.
But I don't look at it that way, because when Danny left, the Lord, I felt like he gave me a verse for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Then the next verse says, but if I remain here in the flesh, then it's because I have more fruitful labor. Yeah. And I'm not quoting that right.
But amen. Yeah. But
I felt like God left me here because he has more fruitful labor for me. And I want to finish my course. I want to have everything God has for me. I want to fulfill the potential that he had in mind when he created me. I don't want to miss out on a thing. Yeah. So
bring me home when there's nothing else on my tree.
Yeah.
No fruit, no leaves, no sap,
no
nothing.
Or Danny would say, no more seeds in the barn.
Right, you know? No more seeds in the barn. Yeah. Wring absolutely everything out of me for God's glory and God's glory alone.
Right. Yes.
And that's really the Westminster Catechism. The number one question in the Westminster Catechism is, what's the chief end of man? It's to glorify God,
enjoy him forever.
Which you go, hey, well, I can't wait to get to eternity. You're in it now.
Yeah.
You're already in it. The minute you became born again, well, everybody's in eternity already, but in terms of a heavenly eternity, the minute you're born again, you're in it. Mm-hmm. And what happens now matters.
Yeah, that's right.
It matters.
That's right.
And so whatever comes your way, we have to look at God's providence. And I think people struggle with, God gave me cancer, God allowed cancer. You can get all wrapped up in that. It's a fascinating theological conversation. But I think the bigger question is what do you want me to do with this, Lord? Whether it's cancer or a financial problem or a relational problem, it's always what?
Well, I know Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. When you're in God's will, there's nothing that happens to you that isn't for that purpose, to bring him glory, and it's for your own good.
Yeah.
So I take it from God's hand. I don't take it from, you know, whatever could have been the reason for the cancer, but
that's
I take it from God's hand.
Yeah, God's at work, and he's at work for his kingdom and your good and his glory.
That's right.
And everybody's going to win in that deal, which is so sweet. What a great gig we have. We're live at Ingram Lotz's office. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We're going to come back and talk about some of the other fruit that's come off that tree, some books, some Bible studies, things that you can do, and some online opportunities as well for those of you that need hope. We'll be right back. Don't bring ends up too loud. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, live today with Ann Graham Lotz. Praise the Lord for that. Live with Ann Graham Lotz. Right? We're alive. We still have things for the Lord has for us to do. And we're here in our studio in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is the HQ of Angel Ministries. How long have you guys been here in this building?
I can't remember, but it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's great to be here. It's great to see you as always.
Thank you.
And I love seeing that long flowing frock of hair. Because this will sound really weird, but actually Ann and I, she has her hair done. I get my hair cut at the same place. So Doug David's a mutual friend of ours. So I was aware of the fact when you changed your hairdo.
Well, he shaved me. I'll put that on Facebook.
Yeah,
he
what was that
me.
Like?
Yeah, that was, he made it fun.
Yeah.
You know, because it's very, my hair was just falling out.
Yeah.
It was after 10 days after my first chemo treatment, and just came out. And so then he shaved it right down. So I thought, you know, rather than hide this, I'm going to let people see, because how many women are doing the same thing?
That's right. Know? Exactly right.
And then I bought a wig because I didn't want to just wear scarves all the time.
Yeah.
But my sister sent me a whole stack of her beautiful designer scarves. So I'd go over to chemo or go through radiation, I'd have her scarves on and hats. And people gave me so many things to, because you get cold.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it gets cold.
I only know that back here. On the back at the hind quarter of my head.
Yeah, so
I thought you looked like a you could have been a cage fighter. I thought you looked tough. I was like, well, Ann looks
I've never been told I look like a cage fighter.
Yeah, that's well, there you go. Yeah, yeah. God bless you. I love you. So that's what your brother's here for. Let's talk a little bit more about kind of the message that the Lord has given you. And you talked about, you know, you've written other prayers and God just bringing more fruit off that tree. The light of his presence, which is prayers that you've written. And then before that, Jesus in me, which is really a focus on the Holy Spirit. We were talking about this off the air. That here in what the Western Church, we really struggle with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like we get it. We understand it's the third member of the Trinity. We understand it's a him. It's not just some ethereal force out there. But he's like the strange uncle at the party, and nobody really knows what to do with him. So is that just me, or is that kind of our challenge here in the Western Church?
Well, you know, just drawing my experience. So this book is about my experience. And when I was raised in the church, and he was referred to as the Holy Ghost. And the only time he was mentioned was in benedictions or at baptisms or weddings, you know.
Yeah.
And I, as a girl, I didn't really want to know a ghost, so I just ignored him. Mm. And because he's a third person of the Trinity, I thought that meant he was the least, that you have the grand, glorious God the Father, and then you have the beloved Son, but he's like a PS, and you don't really need him,
wow.
You know?
Yeah.
So I treated him like an optional extra, and I found out that he's a divine necessity. You cannot live out your Christian faith without the Holy Spirit. So when I was a little girl and I asked Jesus to come into my heart, I had watched a picture of Jesus on television, and the scene of the cross convicted me. I knew I had sinned and got down on my knees, told God I was sorry, asked him to forgive me. And I believe Jesus died for me, and I told God that, and I asked him to forgive me of my sin. I believe he rose from the dead to give me life, and I asked him to come into my heart. And I believe he came into me. I asked Jesus to come into my heart.
Yeah.
I did not know that he's a man up in heaven getting ready to come back and rule the world. He couldn't possibly come into my heart. But he knew what I was talking about. He came in the person of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The Holy Spirit is Jesus in me. And then as an adult, as I began to study the scriptures, primarily the Gospel of John, I came to know who he is. He's not, like you said, a strange uncle. He's also not a flame of fire. He's not a dove. He's not a wind. He's not oil. He's symbolized by those things. But he's a living, invisible person. And he is God himself. So, and the fact that he's the third member of the Trinity just means that God the Father was primarily revealed in the Old Testament, God the Son in the Gospels, and it's Acts and the Epistles where the Holy Spirit is primarily revealed. So he's a third to be primarily revealed in Scripture. And I could not have made it through this cancer journey without him. So this book, Jesus and Me, I was working on it before then, and I'm so thankful I was, Steve, because my focus was on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And my experience of him in my life. So going through this journey, it just deepened that understanding, deepened that. And so the subtitle is just learning to embrace the Holy Spirit as your life's companion, your divine companion.
Because I think oftentimes it's like, boy, wouldn't it be great to be back in the first century and to be walking with Jesus?
Yeah.
And then it just kind of begs the question, well, which would you prefer? Jesus next to you or Jesus inside of you via the Holy Spirit?
Well, he said that actually in John chapter 16. He said, Jesus said, it would be better for me to go away so you can have the Holy Spirit come. And I thought about that.
Oh, man.
That was a mind-blowing statement.
Yep.
So it's better to have Jesus visibly absent so that we could have the Holy Spirit invisibly present.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's amazing. So the Holy Spirit is all that Jesus is, but without the man's physical body.
So how did the Holy Spirit kind of walk with you through that difficult cancer battle?
You know, moment by moment, day by day, but I'll tell you this, Steve, and I'll use an example from the Old Testament. When Moses said, God, show me your glory, and God put him in the cleft of a rock. Do you remember?
Yep.
And he said, I'm going to put my hand over you, but I'm going to pass by. You'll just see the backside. I'll remove my hand and you can see the backside of me. So God puts us in the cleft of a rock sometimes and a hard place. And then he puts his hand over so we know his presence with us. But then he can remove his hand so that we don't feel his presence at all, but we can see the backside of his glory. And I think that means we can see him in retrospect. And his glory is not the shining cloud. He said in Exodus, he said, it's my goodness, my faithfulness, my mercy, my kindness, my love, and it's his character. So at the moment, going through this journey, I might not have been aware of the Holy Spirit helping me do this or do that, but I look back and I can see, oh my goodness, he helped me with that. I bumped into so many people because they recognized me, you know, in the hospital. It's a big teaching hospital. And I would pray with people. I prayed with one woman, and it was 2 weeks later she was gone, you know.
Wow.
And with doctors and with nurses and with technicians. And because you go back and back and back, you build a relationship with these people. And God gave me opportunity and credibility to share the gospel with them. So it was every time I went to the hospital, I told Mara and my daughter, Rachel Ruth, they went with me. And it was like a missions trip.
Oh, yeah.
So we would pray before we went, going over sometimes when the you know, the chemo was so severe, we would name the names of Jesus. We'd go down the alphabet and we'd go around in the car, you know, everybody naming a name of Jesus. Wow. We had praise music on, you know, the radio and or on our phones, and just to lift our spirits and cultivate that awareness of his presence. But as I look back, I can just see that he never let go of me even for a second, and he did bring me through. And I believe, you know, one of the things he told me the very beginning, before I even told my family, and James, he said, pray for one another that you can be healed. Mm-hmm. And I felt like he was telling me, and let people know so they can pray for you and you'll be healed. So that's, you know, I went live with it. I put it on Facebook. I put it out on everything I could and just asked people to pray and took pictures. Pictures of my bald head, pictures of me checking in for the surgery, pictures of me when I was waiting for the surgery, and people all over the world prayed for me.
It's a privilege to do that.
Well, and I hope that when they see me, they're encouraged that God hears and answers prayer. Because and I may so die good. From cancer. I don't know what the end game is going to be. But right now, I'm doing so well, and I'm so grateful I still have opportunity to live for him.
That's right. Well, those fields were white unto harvest.
Yeah.
You know, so we pray for the laborers.
Yes, yeah.
And you realize, okay, I'm a laborer, and I'm walking into a field that's white for harvest. Yeah. So there's all kinds of stuff to do here. Yeah. Did you pray to the Holy Spirit? So what's that like? Because I know you want to talk about John 17, too, which is just mind-boggling to me because I identify with David in a lot of different ways, and specifically with Psalm 51 and where David, and I struggle with this, where his sin was, he said, my sin is ever before me. Which can drive you to your knees, but the Lord is always picking you up and building you up, which is wonderful. But in John 17, to think about Jesus praying for us, interceding for us, is just, it's overwhelming to me to think about that.
It's back in June, I felt like this past June, he led me to John 17, and I just parked there for months, you know, where you just meditate on it, you go over it and over it and over it. And what came out of it was I felt like his message for me that and I'll give you the three things primarily in the chapter that he was impressing on my heart. And he said, I'm praying that you will remain focused on your relationship with me. So with COVID going on, with all my cancer follow up, with the political situation as crazy as it's been, the rioting in the streets, the racial division, and keep your focus on your relationship with me, which means every day spend time in my word, every day spend time in prayer, that you continue to develop your relationship with me. The second thing he said, and I take that from the first verse, you know, he said Father, so it was his relationship with God that was right there at the tip of his tongue in this prayer. And then the second thing, to make sure your faith is deeply rooted in the word of God, because he said he was praying for his disciples, but I put myself in there, that we would believe on Jesus because of their testimony. And their testimony is written down in Scripture. And so he was praying that my faith would rest not on my feelings, not on circumstances, not on what's going on, but it would rest in the Word of God alone. And then the last thing he said to me, and you can look forward to going home, because at the end of that prayer, he prays, he said, you know, and we can long to go home, but he's wanting us to come.
Yeah.
And so he says in the end of that prayer that I want those who are with me to see me in my glory. And so he said, and you can look forward because the best is yet to come. You're going to see me in my glory and I'm going home.
Pretty good trifecta there.
Yeah, that's right.
3 points right out of one particular chapter of the Bible in the book of John. And that was, we'll talk about this when we come back, but I think that's one of the challenges of COVID. Did you get closer to the Lord or did you not? And the opportunity was certainly there. We'll be right back with Ann Graham Lotz. Welcome back, everybody. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. If you're on Facebook or YouTube Live and we run into technical issues every once in a while, on the radio side, everything's fine. So we'll have the podcast up before Seth goes to bed tonight, as I'm looking at my production assistant right now. So the podcast will be up, which you can get anywhere where podcasts are available. You can get the podcast for the Steve Noble Show. Plus, it'll be on Facebook. That'll be there as well. But the audio podcast, so you want to share that. There's so much. Really, our goal today, number one, as always, is to glorify God. But number two was to encourage people and to try to and when you talk about the word encouragement, I love that, because what you're doing is you're trying to lend courage or add courage to other people. And in these dark days, as you've been dealing with cancer, and praise the Lord where he's brought you through that, and you look great, you're feeling great, and God's not done with you, so forget retirement. Did you ever think about retiring, by the way, Ann? Do I need to publicly rebuke you if you thought about retiring?
It has not crossed my mind.
Yeah, good. Okay.
But I'll be honest.
Yes.
I appreciated COVID for the fact that I could stay home and not be packing, unpacking,
yes,
climbing on airplanes, checking into hotels, going to speak in strange venues, you know. So I've been able to do even more work.
Yeah.
But on video, Zoom, audio, but while I'm right here.
And so. I think that's been a great blessing.
Yes.
Gina and I would walk around in our neighborhood, and Gina has always been an exerciser, and we would see all these people walking.
Yes.
And she's like, look at all these Johnny come latelys now. Now they're going to walk. But it was really a great opportunity to slow down.
Yes, that's right.
Invest in relationships.
Yes, that's
right. And for people like us that can do things online and stuff, what a great opportunity.
Yes,
and
right.
Then God takes the darkness and magnifies it, which has just been wonderful.
Yeah.
We were talking about John 17 and talking about prayers, and another thing, another piece of fruit that God has brought off this tree from the last few years is what I've got right in front of me, which is the light of his presence, prayers to draw you near to the heart of God. You were mentioning, I think we want to pray. We certainly know we should pray, but I think a lot of us don't know how to pray.
Well, you know, I've struggled in prayer myself with three things, and one is consistency, you know, and one is concentration. It seems like I go to pray and I think about who's coming over tomorrow talking to you, or, you know, what I'm going to wear, or just, it's crazy. And then content. And so sometimes to help me with that, I write down my prayer. So that helps with content, and it helps with concentration. The consistency, COVID has helped with that because I'm home.
Right.
And so it makes it so much easier to make that time every day, excuse me, when I'm not traveling and you're not tired and catching up with the jet lag or something. And so I've written down a lot of my prayers, and I took 40 of them and have published them in this book. And the aim is you can pray these prayers, but and they'll work, but the aim is to launch you into your own prayer. So we put blank pages throughout the book so that after you read my prayer, then hopefully the Lord would quicken your heart and you can write down your own prayers and just write down your own thoughts in prayer.
What do you think? Should we have a goal when we pray?
My goal is to draw near to the heart of God. So it's not to get something from him necessarily, you know. In fact, I'm not a good intercessor. I spend not as much time in intercession as I should, but I love to worship. I love, every prayer starts with worship and a lot of times confession of sin, which, you know, I think is probably the weakest link in our prayers. And then praise, just thanking the Lord. He's taken away my sin and I know I've been forgiven at the cross, but I think we have to come back to confess our sin, that we can be cleansed, that we can have that sweet fellowship with him.
First John 1:9. Well, you're a mom.
Yeah.
I'm a dad. And when we have problems in our relationships with our kids, guess what?
Yeah.
They didn't stop being our child.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Clay upsets me, which he will, before I go to bed tonight, he doesn't, all of a sudden he's not my child.
That's right.
He's still my son.
That's right.
But
yeah.
Our relationship is fractured.
Exactly.
And then we desire, and reconciliation is at the heart of the gospel. Yeah. We reconciliation and peace with others if it is possible. My kids have heard this so many times. Mm. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone.
Yeah.
And so we desire that, and you have to be reconciled. Same thing with sin and dealing with that regularly.
Yes.
Otherwise, your relationship is fractured.
Exactly. And I don't want that relationship fractured. That my whole life is about that relationship.
Yeah.
You know, it's the core. It's the hub of my life. So so anyway, I just wrote down these prayers and have used them to in my own experience. But the worship and the confession and the praise and then the intercession. You know, right now probably my grandchildren and some ministry things are topmost of my mind, but also our nation and the world. And I continually pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which I know we're not going to have until Jesus comes back.
Right.
But I still can pray for a cessation of
hostilities
and that the missiles wouldn't rain down in the border near Gaza. And, you know, so I love that nation and I love the people. And, you know, I just believe this is a time and this is something that, I don't know if you saw near Purim, where it was a Jewish, wasn't Messianic, but they sent out worldwide a call to pray for the Messiah to come.
Wow.
And it was in just that week of Purim. And I thought, you know, hear the cries of your children. If he heard them down in Egypt, he can hear them now crying out.
That's right.
And asking God. Because I think the fact that now we have a president in America who is not a strong supporter of Israel has caused a lot of Israelis to be very concerned and shaken. And so maybe, you know, God is up to something. I know he's moving in our world
Absolutely.
In a big time way.
That's right.
And so we know that Paul said that one day all of Israel would be saved, not necessarily every single person, but the majority of people, so that one day it would be a Christian messianic nation.
Well, I finally went to Israel 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. Mm. And when we first got there, we ended up at the above the Garden of Gethsemane, and we were out
on
looking over
Olives,
on the Mount of Olives, and we're looking out, and the thing, it was beautiful, it was stunning. I was excited to be there, but there was also a part of my heart that was just broken, because I'm sitting there thinking they're still rejecting him.
That's exactly right.
And I was thinking about Jesus looking out over the masses, and he weeps because he sees her like sheep without a shepherd, and he was like a hen that wanted to gather his chicks, but they just weren't interested.
Yeah.
And it was just so it was wonderful on one hand, but heartbreaking on the other.
I agree.
And the whole time I felt like that.
Uh-huh.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly.
They're still rejecting
it. Yes, I know. Yeah, and it took my third trip in the last few years before I could get over that. And not necessarily that I would get over that, but be able to see past it, I guess, and see that God is, you know, he's working all things for our good and his glory. And he's going to bring that nation actually to their knees
in
repentance, and they're going to look on the one whom they've pierced, and they're going to mourn, and but he's going to deliver them. And I've told them that I've had several opportunities to speak over there, just virtually, but also in person, right before COVID hit, and the fact that when they come under attack, that they're going to cry out. And in Judges, you know, he would send in the Philistines or the Midianites, and he'd raise up Deborah, Gideon, or Samson. And this time I think they're going to cry out. The enemies are going to surround them. Everybody in the world will abandon them. They'll be on their own. And then God himself will be to their deliverer. The Messiah will be their deliverer. And it's going to be a big game-changing moment. They're going to suffer, and I know that. But Jesus one day is going to set up his reign from Jerusalem.
It seems like eschatology, end times thinking, theology, however you want to unpack it. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, it was an interesting topic. I think a lot of people have struggled with the last year, Christians in America, because we always thought of end times as something that was afar. And then all of a sudden, we've seen so many radical things happen in the last 12 to 14 months. I don't think we ever imagined ourselves actually in it. So it's like, it's like a movie. It's cool. I know at the end we win, but we thought we would never really taste it. But I think there's been a condensing. It seems like things are moving faster now.
Very fast. It was very interesting. And I sort of agree with you that, because I believe the rapture would come and take us out of it before we had to taste it, you know, but I believe the Lord's letting us get a good taste maybe before he comes back for us.
And it's really remarkable, but we, instead of being fearful about the headlines, I mean, I think we should be excited about it.
Yeah.
Because they just, it's one more step. It's one more step.
Except there's so much suffering. So to me, what it does for me, it just motivates me to share the gospel. And that was the word that the Lord gave me for this year's proclamation. You know, you just don't want to waste a minute because time is so short. And the people all around us, if they haven't put their faith in Jesus, going to actually go through hell on earth. And so we want to do all we can do to save them from that. And not that we save them, but share the gospel, and they put their faith in Jesus. And then they're spared that horrible 7-year period.
That's right. So what would your charge? We've got about 2 minutes left. What would your charge be to the rest of us? Proclamation. God's put that on your heart to be a good steward of your affliction in your ministry and the platform he's given you. But for, you know, average, ordinary, quote unquote, average, ordinary Christians out there, what would be your challenge to the rest of us?
I would give John 17 points, that you stay focused on Jesus, make time for prayer and Bible reading every day, apply it to your life, live it out in obedience, put your faith down in God's word, and then proclaim the gospel, which is what the disciples did, and that's why you and I are here, because we believed on the message they gave out. And then you can look forward to heaven. You can look forward to going home. This world is not all there is. The best is yet to come. So I think we can look up and we can look ahead. But look around. Don't put your head in the sand, and share the gospel, share the good news, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ with people, as you said, who are in a dark time and desperately need encouragement, more than encouragement. They need the blessing of God.
Yeah. And somebody mentioned earlier when you were talking about asking people to pray for you, that it's difficult to ask people to pray for you. Mm-hmm. You can run around every day. You can look on Facebook. You can look on Twitter, whatever, and assume everybody's okay, but they're not. Yeah. Uh-huh. And because they're made in the image of God, they know that he exists. He's made it plain, Romans 1. And so there's all kinds of opportunities. So even if somebody acts like they're not interested, they already are. Yeah. Yeah. And that's an opportunity. And that we care, we celebrate about our own destiny in heaven, but we have to care more about theirs. Because I'm in, you're in. But there's a lot of people we know that aren't.
Yeah.
And we need to share the gospel with them. And it was great being here.
Thank you.
We'll do it again next time you come to my place.
Okay.
My place looks a little bit more like Star Wars. Yours is regal and well decorated. Mine looks like some guy in a closet with Star Wars stuff. But anyway, just we'll do that again.
Okay.
In the future. It's great having you here, and great to be here. Thanks to everybody at Angram Lots Ministries for helping us out at Angel Ministries. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.